still fight left in the Chicago Bears. 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman here. It's time for the Monday evening quarterback. Oh, we were waiting for one of these games all season long. We talked to Adam Hoge every Monday after the Bears' victory on Sunday, or in this case Thursday, about what he saw, looking at the tape. He's had a couple extra days to look at it. And Adam, I don't lie, right? The idea was we thought we'd get a lot of these games. We'd be so excited to talk about the thrilling Chicago Bears, but we finally got one.
Yeah, first of all, it's just great to be here talking about a win, because we missed the last couple weeks.
Right.
The last time we did this, it was doom and gloom. It was like that for most of the season. So there's some legitimately good things to talk about tonight.
There is. Obviously, you know, the Bears game was on Thursday, but the look ahead now is to the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk a little bit about what you saw in that Dallas Cowboys game. Mitch Trubisky, and I love it because they parse all the stats, and there was one stat that came out, said he ran this many yards and completion percentage, the best in NFL history. But Mitch Trubisky did something that he hadn't done the entire season, and that's run the ball.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of his game. And I don't know if it was the shoulder injury or him and Matt Nagy just trying to put so much emphasis on becoming a pocket passer. But it took too long to get to this point this season with him running the football. Part of it, though, I think, was also he was struggling to make reads, you know, at the line of scrimmage, whether it's a zone read or an RPO. He was struggling with those reads earlier when he had to make a split-second decision on whether or not to keep the ball or hand it off. And, you know, on Thursday night against the Cowboys, he had it all going. He was making quick decisions. He was not hesitant, and he was playing fast, not afraid to run the ball. And you see, you know, I was talking to Cody Whitehair after the game, the Bears center, and he said when Mitch runs the ball, he plays more confident. And he needs to be that complete package. I also liked how there were times where he kept the ball and he wasn't afraid to slide after just gaining a couple yards, because you don't want him getting killed out there either. That's about as good as you can do out there, running the football and then complementing it with your arm.
Now, obviously, you know, everyone talks about the running game, but he had a great game in the air, too. The one thing that was interesting is seeing maybe like Whitehair said, and talking about confidence, but he was threading the needle trying to get the ball in the places that he may not try, or he might hesitate or throw an interception. A couple of those that were like, but he was able to, like, just on a rope, get the ball where it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the interception early was just a bad decision. He should have thrown that ball away and didn't. I like how the last two games, though, he has thrown interceptions that were definitely on him, not his wide receivers, and he bounced back and looked great after throwing the interception. You know, all good quarterbacks still throw interceptions. That's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
It's how you perform around those interceptions. And he avoided having the terrible game around, just one or two bad decisions. He was outstanding. In my notes in front of me, highlighted in bright yellow, it's 10's short area accuracy, the best I've seen. This is something I have been harping on him for, even after that Washington game earlier in the season where the Bears won comfortably and Mitch threw three touchdowns in the second quarter. I did not like that game because I did not like how in the rest of the game his short area accuracy was all over the place. And in this offense, which requires him and really is based around him getting the football into the hands of his playmakers, that means a lot of short passes in space. The way to pick up yards after the catch is to hit your wide receiver in stride.
Right,
it can't be behind them.
Right.
It can't be at their hip. It needs to be in their hands, in front of them. And the Bears have been awful at yak this season, yards after the catch. They were great in this game because Mitch's short area accuracy was outstanding throughout the game.
Now, the other thing, too, the tight end play, and you know, these are sort of no-name tight ends that are filling in for our more expensive first-string and second-string tight ends, but that you see how important that position is for a Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky offense.
It is, and so let me explain what's happening here, because look, when they had things going last year with Trey Burton, defenses were having to shadow him and move attention to him, and that was opening up Tariq Cohen. It was opening up other things in the offense, and the Bears were really benefiting from that. And then when Trey Burton was a sudden scratch in the playoff game against the Eagles, they were able to adjust their coverage. Malcolm Jenkins went to Tariq Cohen, took him completely out of the game, and then earlier in this season, that was the blueprint. That's what you were seeing. I think that had a lot to do with why this offense was struggling. struggling so much because Trey Burton was not himself, and the Bears were just not getting any production from that U tight end position, which is so important. So now, as teams haven't really had to worry about the tight end, I think what Matt Nagy has done, now it took a while for him to basically bench Adam Shaheen. They put Trey Burton on IR, and then they found some guys here, Jesper Horsted and J.P. Holtz. I mean, they may not be the most ideal U tight ends, but because they're not getting so much attention, Nagy is now drawing up some plays to get them involved because they're not being taken out the way Trey Burton was last season. So I give Matt Nagy credit for that adjustment.
My last question about the offense, and Troy Aikman mentioned this in the broadcast, so I wanted to ask you about it, was that the Dallas Cowboys play a pretty vanilla package. That's what he said. Yeah. They play the same defense as Wade Phillips. They know they're not disguising much. Is it fool's gold to think that Mitch Trubisky just had a breakout game and he's become the NFL quarterback? Or does it have a little thing that, you know, or does it have something to do with the fact that the Cowboys were just trying to win on strength and they're not necessarily disguising their coverages?
Yeah, so, I mean, I personally hate this idea. Look, leading up to the game, everyone said, all right, Mitch was great against the Giants, and he's great against the Lions. He needs to do it against a better team like the Cowboys. And then they play the Cowboys, and the Cowboys look bad, and everyone's like, oh, well, this doesn't count either. I mean, you can't do that. You know, what Aikman's getting at, think about the Bears defense, the Tampa 2 under Lovie Smith. That's basically what they're running. Rod Marinelli is their defensive coordinator.
Right, now Wade Phillips. Yeah, he's gone, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Rod Marinelli was on the Bears staff under Lovie Smith. That's essentially what they're running. It is kind of vanilla. There's not a whole lot of motion in their defense, not a whole lot of disguising. They just do what they do, and when you have a lot of speed and playmakers out there, you can keep the ball in front of you and eventually take the ball away, which is what the Bears were so good at in that system. You know, obviously the Cowboys aren't gelling right now defensively, but I give Mitch credit. He picked them apart, and I think this was just a good matchup with a more innovative offense against kind of an outdated defense.
Well, we'll get back to, you know, defensive coverage and schemes when we talk about the Packers a little bit later in this broadcast. It's a Monday Evening Quarterback, 312-981-7200. If you got a question or concern about the Bears, you can text or call. Adam Hoge is our Bears insider. You can find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about the defense here on 720 WGN. All right, it's the Monday Evening Quarterback. Adam Hoge is with us. He is the Bears insider for WGN Radio, WGNradio.com/Bears, for all of his great insights and analysis, reporting about the Chicago Bears. Of course, a big victory over the Cowboys on Thursday night, and they look ahead to the Packers. One thing that was overlooked was I thought that the Chicago Bears defense did an amazing job on the number one offense in the NFL. Beyond the first drive, which was, I think, was 17 plays or something like that, Chuck Pagano really looked like he had Dak Prescott confused. What was the secret? Looking at the tape, Adam, what was the secret on how the Chicago Bears stopped that high-octane offense?
Well, and Justin, you know that I have been hesitant to put a lot of blame on this defense this season because I just think that they have not been given enough help from the offense, and they've been put in tough situations all season long. And I'm totally with you in this game. I thought they did a great job, especially, like, look at even when the first drive happened, when the Cowboys went down the field and scored, I never overreact to what happens on the first drive because it's scripted. It's the stuff they practiced all week and scheme specifically to this defense. And then you get to go to the sideline and make adjustments. Right. And the Bears obviously did that.
And also, the other thing I would say, Adam, is that was 17 plays. I mean, there were a lot of third downs. You know, the Bears forced them into a lot of situations. They converted, but the point being that it wasn't like first down and 10, 15 yards. They kept it third and two, third and three the entire drive.
Right, and you want to stop those third downs. I mean, the Cowboys did go 4-for-4 on that drive, but one of them was on a pass they targeted Roquan Smith, who, when you go back and watch the film, clearly got hurt, in my opinion. This hasn't been confirmed, but it's pretty obvious on tape. The eighth play of that drive, Roquan Smith he suffered that torn left pectoral muscle. He kind of came in quickly, and his arm just sort of hit Zeke Elliott. He took him down, but it was one of those kind of like drive-by hits where his arm bent backwards, and from that point on, the rest of the drive, he was favoring that left arm. He was only using his right arm, and that was including on one of those third down throws. I think he was on the tight end. And they converted, and then you saw on the touchdown, too. I don't know if even 100% Roquan makes that that tackle at the goal line, but there would have been a better effort. So the point is, I'm not sure the Cowboys even score if Roquan hadn't been hurt on that drive. He clearly wasn't the same player. And even so, they don't have him the rest of the game. First of all, you got to give credit for the adjustments the Bears made. And look, that's a good passing attack. Dak Prescott's having a pretty good year. He's got weapons to throw the ball to. Prince Amukamara wasn't out there. I thought Kevin Tolliver, the young corner out of LSU, did a pretty good job of filling in. And they just took it to the Cowboys there defensively with a lot of backups out there. Four starters down in that game. Really a great effort by the Bears defense.
Yeah, it really was. And I'd have to say, the update on Roquan Smith today, that he's out for the year. Yeah. Obviously, we don't know what's up with Danny Trevathan. It seems like he may be out for the year. He should be out after seeing that, how gross that injury was. But the backup linebackers, who in the John Fox era were, when you got to the backup linebackers, it was over. They are holding their own. Kevin Pierre-Louis came into that game, and he looked like he was young Khalil out there. He was making plays left and right.
They even lined him up and had him rush off the edge a couple times, which was pretty impressive. And he had a couple hits and hurries on Dak Prescott in that game. He's a little undersized too, but he's got a little twitchiness to his game. I just think you got to, again, you give the front office credit for bringing in guys like Nick Kwiatkowski and Kevin Pierre-Louis, who are borderline starters. They could start for other teams. Kevin Pierre-Louis has started for other teams in the NFL. They're not Pro Bowl, All-Pro type players, and they're certainly not Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, but there's depth at this position, and they're coming in, they're playing sound, smart football, and they're not afraid to hit people. And so while they might not be as fast sideline to sideline as Roquan Smith, that's really what you lose. And I do wonder how Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to expose that a little bit in this game on Sunday, because he might pick on those guys in coverage a little bit.
He gets a week to look at Kevin Pierre-Lewis's game,
right,
too.
Which is much different, because, I mean, the Cowboys, they weren't scouting Kevin Pierre-Louis during the week. But you got to give them credit, because they both, those two guys have been filling in great. And quickly on, so Roquan goes on IR. He's definitely out for the season. Unfortunately, it ends what I thought was turning into a very promising year. I expected Roquan Smith to be an all-pro player this year. Obviously, the personal issue earlier in the season kind of derailed that, but he was starting to get back to that player here as of late. And this injury just, it hurts. And it might hurt his offseason too, because he's going to need surgery, and you don't know if you're going to have him back in the spring when the team gets it back together. But I still think Roquan Smith has a very, very, very bright future in the NFL. As for Danny Trevathan, they still have not put him on IR yet, which tells me that at a minimum, there's at least a chance he could play in Week 17. And if there's any chance you can get him back for that game, that must be why they haven't put him on injured reserve.
Now, Adam, the one thing, and I think this says a lot, I will give props to Ryan Pace. There was a time when the Bears' depth, and I mentioned it with John Fox, that it was not good, that the second and third team guys that came in, is obviously when we had injury plagued after injury plagued seasons, it was bad. You've had an injury plagued season. This is not like last year where everybody's out there. They are hurt, and stars, Pro Bowlers are out, and you are not seeing that much of a talent drop off. I mean, you just mentioned the two tight ends who came in probably off the street, who seem to be playing ball better than the guys who were in front of them. And the linebacker play and the defensive line play and the offensive line. I mean, every position on this Bears team has had a backup in there. And I don't see the problems we've had in the past.
No, I mean, first of all, the depth obviously is a lot better. So I know this kind of gets into a side conversation, but when things were so bad a few weeks ago, I know everybody wants to overreact because it's the NFL, and just the fact that there's only 16 games in a year of 365 days, everything gets magnified, and I get it. But people that were calling for Ryan Pace to get fired and Matt Nagy to get fired, it was just, it's an overreaction, because when you zoom out and you see the job, it certainly has not been perfect, and both of them still can't improve. But when you look at the depth here that Ryan Pace has built, it's pretty impressive, because you're right. There's been guys that step up, and the system is working, right? Especially this defensive system. Guys are getting plugged in, and it's still working as a unit. That's very impressive. It speaks to the coaching as well, that they're able to do that. And then the players get a lot of credit too. And then another thing I want to point out, yes, this has been a season of a lot of injuries, more comparable to a few years ago under John Fox. But the big difference to me is, you're not necessarily having so many of these nagging type things. I don't know. Trey Burton probably goes in that category. But other than that, and Adam Shaheen, I guess, although the Adam Shaheen foot thing, the way that popped up and how bad he was playing, I honestly think it has more to do with how he was playing than anything else. Same thing with Kyle Long. With these type of injuries that you've seen with Akeem Hicks, with Danny Trevathan, I mean, these are legitimate football injuries where, you're looking at the video of it and you're going, come on. I mean, that's just it. Yeah, same thing with Roquan Smith. There's not much you can do about these things. So whereas I think a couple years ago, everybody was like, why are these hamstrings and calf injuries and all these muscle pulls, why do these keep happening? It's got to have something to do with the staff. They changed the staff up, and there have been less of those in the last 2 years.
But it's amazing to think about, because a lot of in the NFL comes down to who's healthiest at the end. And to think about this Bears team being in a position where they're still in the playoffs without a run with, at one point, their quarterback, offensive lineman, two of their guards, I mean, Massey and Kyle Long have been out.
Yes.
The tight ends, two tight ends, the first and second string, your wide receiver and Taylor Gabriel. That's the off the defense. Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Prince Mukamara. These are big household names for this Bears team, and it's surprise. I mean, it's just amazing to think how 1 year you could go without nothing, and the next year you got 10 or 11 of them. So.
And this league is so much about when you play teams, the way your schedule is structured, and then how you're playing at different parts. Every team goes through ebbs and flows. Unfortunately, the Bears' down part lasted 4 weeks, and they couldn't pull out that game against the Chargers that they absolutely had. That's the most painful loss of the season.
That's the one, man.
It definitely is. Everything looks different if you have that field goal right now and you have an extra win. But the point is here they are in December with all these injuries, and this seems to be when they're peaking. It's actually remarkable. You give Matt Nagy a lot of credit for getting this team through it. Unfortunately, it looks like the hole's been a little bit too deep to dig out of, but they're not dead yet.
Yeah. All right, so the second half of this, let's talk about what to expect from the Packer game, because they've seen the Packers now. Matt Nagy's seen them a couple of times, three times. He's 1-2, and two horrific losses. I mean, like, the opening day losses both seasons have been really difficult for us Bears fans. So it'll be interesting to see which shows up on Sunday at Lambeau. Adam Hoge is on the line. He's with us on Mondays, Monday Evening Quarterback, 312-981-7200. And we'll take your calls and texts here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's the Monday Evening Quarterback here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and Adam Hoge is with us. He is the Bears insider who covers the Bears for WGN Radio, wgnradio.com/Bears. And we're talking about what we saw from the Dallas Cowboys game, but now we move to what we hope to see from the Green Bay Packers game coming up on Sunday. As you mentioned, Adam, it's a very slim chance that the Bears are going to make the playoffs. They have to run the table with a lot of competition in front of them and hope that the Vikings and the Rams lose a couple games. It's not ideal, but a victory against the Packers at Lambeau may make Bears fans feel that this season was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, without getting in the playoffs, if that feels, it still feels like a letdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think that there are some things to salvage here, and more importantly than who you beat, I think it's just that for this franchise, Mitchell Trubisky needs to continue to play better. Play well for these last three games, more like the guy we've seen the last month or so. If he keeps that going for the last three games, then all of a sudden you can isolate the second half of this season and say, wow, that was a pretty good half of a season. That's mm-hmm. a significant period of time. But yeah, if you can go in there to Lambeau Field and win, the Packers most likely will still go on and win the division. At least at that point, you would hope they would, because you need the Vikings to lose. So
you actually
become a Packer fan from that point on, pretty much. But you go in there, you kind of send a message, because look, last year when the Bears went into Lambeau in Week One and had a 20-0 lead and ended up losing, I still came out of that game feeling like the Bears had certainly closed the gap, and then they got the Packers again in December at Soldier Field, the day they clinched the division. The Packers were already on to their interim head coach, Joe Philbin, and the Bears went out there and won the NFC North, and it was making a statement. Then the Packers came back this year, big game at Soldier Field on opening night, and they said, hey, wait a minute, we're not going anywhere. And I still was confused after that game over who was really the better team. And then the interesting thing about that is the Bears right now look a heck of a lot better than they did in September, especially on offense. So
Yeah.
I think the Bears really have a pretty good shot to win this game, actually, on Sunday.
Well, we'll talk. It's only year two of the Matt Nagy tenure here. And we saw last year, and I thought this was a really great thing that we didn't see from a lot of coaches before, was just ending the season on a high note. And I forgot how many games that they rattled off, Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy, towards the end of the season last year. But they, from that Green Bay, they beat Minnesota in Minnesota when everyone thought they were going to not even play their starters. They started to win in November and December. We're seeing a similar thing here in the second year. We're seeing the Chicago Bears now have won, what, three in a row?
Yeah, three in a row.
But here they are with these big three. I mean, these are huge games, and they're going to be hard to win. And if they don't win, I don't think that people are going to think that the Bears are the worst team in the league because they're playing against some stiff competition. But is this a trend for Nagy and Trubisky that they play better at the end of the season, or is it too early to tell?
Well, they got to do it again here to finish this off before we can actually say it's a trend. But you're absolutely right in that the Bears did play well in December last year. They started the month by losing to the Giants on the road in a letdown game, but then they rattled off their last four games against the Rams, the Packers, the 49ers, and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And actually, that Week 17 game in Minnesota was perhaps the most impressive win because the Vikings were playing for a playoff berth, and the Bears didn't have to play their starters, and they just went in there and they said, "We don't care." And they thoroughly dominated.
In retrospect, you almost wish they would have lost because we're going to have the Vikings instead of Eagles. Anyway, yeah. I digress, but go ahead.
But Mitch was good, but Mitch did those things I was talking about earlier in the hour, which is just play sound football at the quarterback position, get the ball in the hands of your playmakers, and don't make mistakes. He was really good at that in December, and that was when he started building this rapport with Allen Robinson. People forget that Allen Robinson was kind of slow coming back from the ACL last year, and they didn't really get on fire together until those last four games. And Mitch became really good on third down and was finding Allen Robinson as his go-to guy. That continued into the season, even when Trubisky was struggling. And we'll see. I think that they can keep this going here. I don't know if they're going to win out, but they can definitely continue this solid football they're playing right now through the end of the season.
Well, with the Packers, and I guess it's hard to say from season to season because they changed their coaching staff and they brought in the whiz kid who's their coach now.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur.
But what you saw, and it's hard because a sample size is only one game, but what kind of team is the Packers? I mean, are they the same kind of Aaron Rodgers-led, same kind of offensive scheme that the West Coast offense have been running for a decade, or have they switched it up this year?
Well, they haven't in that they're more committed to the run. And Aaron Jones, their running back's having a great season. And they're really a team now that depends on running the football. Because if you look at their depth chart offensively, they don't have a whole lot of weapons to throw the football to. Davante Adams is obviously very, very good. But behind him, it's a bunch of guys that were either drafted late or undrafted free agents. Guys that you can just watch Aaron Rodgers. It's funny, this team is 10-3. And Aaron Rodgers just doesn't look like he's happy all the time. He just looks constantly frustrated, like he realizes he's not throwing a Donald Driver anymore. And Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and all these guys that used to kill the Bears. The wide receiver group just isn't as good. Jimmy Graham's not the same guy he used to be before he got to Green Bay. So there are some limitations. I think this Packer team is flawed. And I think, if you gave most Packer fans a lie detector test, they'd probably admit that if they get to the playoffs.
True, yeah.
I don't know that this is a Super Bowl team. Their defense has slipped. It looked really good earlier in the season. Looked good against the Bears earlier in the season, but they don't shut you down completely. I think, in fact, going into this game Sunday, I think the Bears can move the football on this defense. So, but to get back to your original question, they run the football more under Matt LaFleur. There's still a lot of Aaron Rodgers running the show on the field, but I think Rodgers has accepted that he just can't put this team on his arm anymore because he just doesn't have the same weapons.
Mm. That's fascinating that the game plan would be to shut down the run and force you Aaron Rodgers to beat you. That sounds like a bad idea. Right? Doesn't it sound like you're absolutely right. That's the way to do it. If you bring a guy up in the box and you try to stop Aaron Jones,
yeah,
then that means that you're going to get 40, 45 passes from Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if I like
does,
that.
It does sound scary, especially considering what that guy's done against the Bears in the past. But, you know, it gets back to how these guys can play. Not to put too much on the fact that Roquan Smith's out here, but behind this defensive front for the Bears, can these guys cover behind them? Because getting Nakeem Hicks back out there, I think the Packers are going to struggle to run the football. I think that that's a huge advantage the Bears have up front. They can stop this running game. The question is, does Aaron Rodgers pick apart the defense behind the front four or five?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that because I wonder, and if you saw it in the tape at Dallas without Roquan Smith, because Roquan Smith was so good going sideline to sideline, that as fans, I always got a little annoyed that he's not rushing the quarterback more, that you didn't have him coming off a gap blitz. But we saw more of that from Nick Kwiatkowski. We saw that from, like you said, Kevin Pierre-Lewis was coming on the blitz. Did they dial up more pressure because these guys aren't great in coverage, and they want to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands?
Well, I think Pagano's been doing that steadily throughout the season, but I've been really impressed because he's picking and choosing, and he's not doing it the whole game, and he seems like when he does it, he's always right. It also helps that, you know, for backup linebackers, Nick Kwiatkowski and Kevin Pierre-Lewis certainly have an ability to blitz and rush the passer. They're good at it. And Roquan Smith's good at it. We saw that actually on the...
he's great at it. Yeah.
Two plays against the Packers in week one, I think he rushed and made some plays in the backfield. So that chess match is going to be huge in this game, Chuck Pagano versus Matt LaFleur, because you're always going to know Aaron Rodgers is going to have some tricks up his sleeves, know when that stuff's coming. This is going to be a really fun, good game for December, and I know fans are disappointed that this team might not be going to the playoffs, but for such a meaningful game in December to still be happening, and one that I think the Bears have a really good chance of winning, it should be fun on Sunday.
Akeem Hicks, you mentioned Akeem Hicks, so he's back. So his injury, they put him on IR, but that only went to this December 14th game or whatever date this is going to be. But what can we expect? What are the expectations? Is this going to be kind of like easing himself back in? Is he going to be in condition? Should we expect a full participation from Akeem Hicks?
So it's an elbow injury. So theoretically, conditioning wise, it's not necessarily football shape, but he should have been able to be, you know, staying in shape with his legs throughout the time he was out. And I can't imagine that they'd be putting him back in there unless he was close to 100%. Now, he may still have a brace on that elbow. Is certainly possible. But I would think that they would not be putting him back out there unless he had full strength of his arms or close to full strength to be able to do the things that defensive linemen need to do up front. So from a conditioning standpoint, can he play the whole game? Well, again, football shape is a little bit different than, you know, just running on the side and doing, you know, work on the bike and things like that to stay in good cardiovascular shape. But the other thing I want to point out is I thought earlier in the year he was clearly laboring with a knee issue that he was playing through.
Right.
And so I thought that it was showing at times. He just got 8 weeks off. So he may actually look better with his legs than he did in the first 4 weeks of the season, as long as he can stay out there for the majority of the game. So I think Akeem Hicks is going to come out there Sunday and have an impact right away.
Now, you hear the word impact when it comes to Khalil Mack, that Khalil Mack hasn't been the same kind of player since Akeem Hicks has gone out. Is there truth to that? Does Akeem Hicks draw double teams and give Khalil Mack a better path to the quarterback?
Absolutely. That's been unbelievably proven here, how much defense have been able to shift their attention. I broke it down here a few weeks ago, the different things that I think it was the first Lions game was the game I went through and showed you guys on WGNRadio.com all the different ways, the variety of ways that teams have been shifting attention, either moving the ball away from Khalil Mack or double-teaming him when they go at him. When Akeem Hicks is in there in the middle and you have to double-team Akeem Hicks, and he was facing a ton of double teams. I remember joking around with him in the locker room like after week two or three about that. It's just there's only so many guys on the field. It's 11 on 11, and so if you're gonna double-team Hicks in the middle, that makes it a lot harder to do to Khalil Mack on the outside what you need to do. It's just a numbers game, and so That's going to be the test early. Is do the Packers come out and they're probably going to test Hicks a little bit and say, all right, do we need to double team him or not? Is he the same guy? And that feeling out process early in the game, I think, is going to determine a lot of that. But you could see not only Khalil Mack unlocked. Remember, Leonard Floyd does most of his damage against the Packers. This is the team he racks up all his sacks against in his career. So he's a big factor too that they need to put some attention on his number 94.
Yeah, and if you need a refresher, go back to the Packers Bears game that started the season. Fast forward to the offensive parts; it was terrible, but the defense was amazing. There was a couple points in the second quarter there where it was just a chaos. Every time Aaron Rodgers snapped a ball, four guys were coming, and that was Hicks and Mack and Floyd. It was nuts. We were almost feeling like this is going to be 16 games. We're going to the Super Bowl, and that quickly dissipated when Adrian Amos picked off.
No, it's a great point. The first couple weeks of the season, I mean, we thought this defense was right where it was. It had not skipped a beat, and I still think they've had a tremendous year overall, but they looked outstanding in week one. I remember Aaron Rodgers talking after the game. He was happy to get the win, but he clearly was not happy with the offensive performance. The interesting thing about that is talking very similarly yesterday, and after they beat Washington, but it was very ugly. I watched the whole game yesterday. This is a team that's been winning ugly all season. And I just think when you look at the matchup right now with how the teams are playing right now, this line opened up at Packers favored by 7 points, and I just thought that was crazy. I think it's already come down to 4, but I just don't think there's that big of a gap here talent-wise between these two teams.
Adam Hogue with us, Monday Evening Quarterback, 312-981-7200. Okay, we'll take our last break here. We'll come back, and we'll talk playoff implications and what needs to happen next week for the Bears to have a little bit of glimmer hope to make the playoffs. We'll continue here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. I think a couple of texts that are coming in from our fans to the north. I think we're not being too fair to the Green Bay Packers, Adam Hogue. They're 10-3, after all, and winning ugly. Disappointed in us. This Bears talk on this Bears station.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just calling in how I see it. I give them all the credit in the world for being 10-3. I was very skeptical of the Matt LaFleur relationship with Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's worked for the most part. They found a way to win games. I also think if you go back and look at the schedule, though. Okay, they just beat Washington. They just beat the Giants, two awful teams from the NFC East. They got killed by the 49ers a few weeks ago in San Francisco. Their most impressive win came in Kansas City against the Chiefs. But remember, Patrick Mahomes didn't play that game. So I give them all the credit in the world for what they're doing. They have an easier schedule than the Bears right now. They're taking advantage. Their free agency moves rarely work out as well as they have. To have three signings like Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Adrian Amos, and all three of them have been great. That's just some great offseason moves that are paying off on that defense. But I just still think that they're when I said they're flawed, I think they're flawed in winning a Super Bowl. They're still obviously a very good team, and I think they're going to go on and win this division, and they deserve to celebrate that. I don't think that they're at the level of some of the other thing, all the other teams that I'm putting in the actual Super Bowl conversation right now.
312 wants to know, what's up with Taylor Gabriel?
Taylor Gabriel suffered 2 concussions this season. I have not seen him since the last concussion he suffered, which I'm kind of forgetting. Was that against the Giants a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
I think the Bears have been without him the last 2 games. So anytime you suffer 2 concussions, and I know he had one before that in his career, they start to add up, and you do tend to worry about that. So I think until we suddenly see him, I wouldn't be counting on Taylor Gabriel right now.
773 wants to know about Nick Kwiatkowski. Are the Bears going to re-sign him, or is he auditioning for other teams?
Yeah, this is a fascinating question because Danny Trevathan's contract's also up here, and I don't think anybody's doubting that Danny Trevathan is a better player than Nick Kwiatkowski. Just he's a faster player. That being said, Kwiatkowski has proven that I think he can start for a lot of teams, and he's going to get paid as a starter by some team around the league if it's not the Bears. And if the Bears choose to move on from Danny Trevathan, I would consider Nick Kwiatkowski. You got a lot of guys you got to pay, like Eddie Jackson. You got to, you know, start. We might be moving back into the Mitch Trubisky extension conversation here soon.
That's another text. Right.
Allen Robinson, I would lock him up this offseason. You could extend Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been really, really good on special teams. There's a lot of money to be spent here, so that could be a spot where you save some money by keeping Nick Kwiatkowski. Maybe drafting at that position. It'll be fascinating.
We'll answer the other questions about Mitch Trubisky after we see what he does against the Packers. But, as we wrap here, I'm intrigued about the playoff implications because obviously the Bears have to win out. But this week is a big one because the Vikings are in L.A. against the Chargers, who looked awesome on Sunday. And the L.A. Rams still have a couple of tough games left, including one against the Niners, I believe. So this is a big week for the NFL, for the teams that are kind of standing in the way of the Bears.
Yes, the Rams have the Cowboys and the Niners coming up. The Vikings go to the Chargers this weekend. Yeah. The Chargers obviously beat the Bears. They also beat the Packers at home. And the Vikings also just went out west to play Seattle, came back on a short week. They took care of the Lions at home. Now they got to go back out west. So this is a tricky game for them this week. Then they have the Packers next week at home. So if you're the Bears, you need them to lose one of those two games. Really, I thought Seattle would beat the Rams last night, so that makes things a little bit trickier. But the way the Rams have been this season, between this desperate Cowboys team and the 49ers coming up, I got to think that they lose one of those two games. The tricky thing is that the Bears do not have the tiebreaker head-to-head.
Yeah, they got to lose them both, right?
Against the Rams. So
yeah.
It's a tough road here. It's a tough road. I do like Matt Nagy's attitude, though. None of that matters unless the Bears take care of their own business and they got
to
win out.
I don't think that this team deserves to be in a playoff. I don't think that they've shown it. But if they ran the table and they beat the Packers at Lambeau, the Chiefs at Soldier Field and went on the road and beat the Vikings to get that spot, then they deserve it, right? I mean, it makes total sense to me. And if they lose any of those games, they're out. So it makes sense.
And not only that, they'd be a really scary team coming into the playoffs because now they're the team that everyone thought they were at the beginning of the year. Your first game would most likely be at Lambeau Field. You just beat the Packers at Lambeau a few weeks prior. If this scenario is what's playing out, that's the only way it could play out. So the Packers wouldn't want to play the Bears. The Bears would just be a really scary team going to the playoffs. And, you know, it's funny how this league works because there's a good chance that the Bears could finish 10-6 on a huge hot streak, looking great with their quarterback playing better, not get in. And meanwhile, the Cowboys will be in the playoffs hosting a playoff game. Right. And that just does, it seems wrong, but I still do overall like the idea that you win your division, you get in the playoffs.
All right. Talk to you next Monday. Go Bears.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Adam Hoge. Bears Insider, WGNRadio.com/Bears joins us Mondays for the Monday Evening Quarterback.